Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes, and for the next 30 minutes, as usual, please stay tuned. It will be 30 minutes of motivation, inspiration, education, with no manipulation, because we don't have hidden agendas. Yep, we're not trying to sell you anything. We're not trying to hustle anything. We have nothing that we're trying to get you to do. We just want to give you some accurate information. Information that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life. If you want to listen, if you want to hear it, then you have the freedom and the privacy to orient and adjust to the plan. But my job is to give you accurate information. I'm not a comedian, and this is not a dialogue. This is not a call-in show. This is a monologue. It's just me talking to you, but we're talking about the most wonderful, unique problem-solving devices the world has ever known. It's called the Flatline. The Flatline is the military analogy of putting the Word of God in your soul, so that it acts as a main line of resistance to stop the outside sources of adversity before they become the inside sources of stress. We all know that adversity is inevitable in the devil's world, but we know that stress is optional, because adversity is what circumstances do to us, and stress is what we do to ourselves. So we do not have to worry. We do not have to be afraid. We do not have to be bitter. We do not have to carry guilt. There is a better way to live. It is called the Christian life. And when you learn the mechanics of the Christian life, when you learn how to enjoy grace orientation, when you learn how to live under biblical orientation, when you learn to use the faith rest drill, when you learn to walk through the filling of the Holy Spirit, when you enjoy using rebound to recover from your failure and your sin, when you learn how to have a personal sense of destiny, knowing that God has prepared in eternity past a plan for your life, and when you see how phenomenal impersonal love is, how it gives you the ability to love even the unloving person, much like God loved you. You were unlovable, remember? God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. You were part of the world. And God loved you, and you can use that same kind of love. And then you will find what it means to have the happiness of God, plus H, sharing the happiness of the Lord Jesus Christ in spite of the circumstances. As you advance forward with your eyes on him, being occupied with Christ, a tremendous problem-solving device, occupation with Christ. So these things are part of what this radio show is about. I want to thank so many of you that have written to me in the last few weeks. So many of you, I've tried to respond with a personal email or even a personal letter to each one of you. So thank you for telling me, please keep the show on in my city. We will do that. To the best of our ability right now, we're only canceling two shows. And that's going to be Birmingham, Alabama. We're going to come off the air in Birmingham, Alabama. And we're going to come off of the air in Amarillo, Texas. The other shows, there will be 13 shows that we will continue to air. And I hope your city's not one of the ones we came off the air on. But let me say this. If you can't get us in your city, and you would still like to hear the Flatline, we will be happy to send you once a month an MP3 disc, a CD disc of those shows for that month. We'll mail them to you at no charge, and so you can listen if you have an MP3 player. If you don't, just go to Walmart or go to some drugstore somewhere and buy a small, cheap, inexpensive MP3 player. Many cars have MP3 players in their disc. They'll play a CD or an MP3, and you can listen to the Flatline on the disc that we send you. And so if we cancel the show in your area and you still want to get them, let us know. We'll send that to you every month. Now, thank you again for those of you that wrote. Thank you for the personal letters of encouragement. And thank you for your prayers as we press forward into the year 2013. I want to give you a term this morning. I don't know that you've heard of it. My pastor coined this phrase many years ago. It was called reversionism. Reversionism, it means going backwards or going in reverse. And maybe you've heard a term similar to that called backsliding. Christians who backslide or Christians who go in reverse. It starts out when Christians yield to the temptation of the sin nature. Remember that you and I have three enemies, the world, the flesh, and the devil. The lure of the world, the lust of the flesh, and the devil who goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he can devour. And so these three enemies are always against us, but we are indwelt by God the Holy Spirit, God the Son, and God the Father. So I'd say the odds are more than even. But when the old sin nature sends up a temptation, sometimes people have a tendency to say, the devil made me do that. No, he didn't. Why would the devil even fool with you if you can't get past the lure of your flesh? I mean, come on, the devil is not omnipresent. He cannot be in Texas and in California at the same time. He's a created being. Now, God the Father is immanent and transcendent, and he is omnipresent, but not Lucifer. So if you cannot get past the lure of the world, and you cannot get past the lust of the flesh, what makes you think that Satan's knocking on your door trying to personally tempt you? He's not. So when you yield to the temptations of the old sin nature, you use your volition to make a decision. God gave every one of us a volition that's part of the makeup of our soul, and we have the ability to say yes or no. Yes, I will, or no, I won't. So when we say yes to temptation, because this is where all sin comes from, the temptation is not a sin. But the saying yes is. The sin always comes from the volitional decision to do it. You know, I like to say sometimes, just because you're on a diet don't mean you can't look at the menu when I'm in a restaurant sometimes. I don't have to order that piece of coconut cream pie, but I can look at it and think, ooh, boy. And see, sometimes that's the way sin is. Just because you have been tempted doesn't mean that you committed a sin. So remember that. Sometimes people will confess temptations. But when you yield to the temptation of the sin nature, you may eventually fail to rebound or to confess that sin. Problem-solving device number one. But instead of confessing it and admitting to the Father that it was a sin and it was wrong, you may justify why it was okay to do it. And then you follow the patterns of your flesh. We all have different patterns, lust patterns. Not everybody lusts for sex. Some people lust for money. Some people lust for power. Some people lust for attention. Some people lust for drugs and alcohol. Whatever the lust pattern is, a Christian who gets out of fellowship with God, who backslides or goes into reversionism and yields to the temptation of the sin nature. And this means, I'm not talking about temporary carnality. Temporary carnality is when you sin and rebound. But perpetual carnality, when you're out of fellowship with God and you don't rebound, you don't get back in fellowship, you don't admit your sin, then you're in perpetual carnality and you allow your sin nature to dominate your thinking. And what that does effectively is short out the protocol plan of God in your life, because you're not growing spiritually. You have shut down. You're stalled out. You're like an airplane that was climbing and you've hit the the top, the loop, and you can't go any further. You've let your sin nature take over, and you've stalled out in your spiritual life, and you are unchecked by rebound. You haven't confessed your sin. And then, like the airplane that stalls out and begins to sink into a spin, you begin to sink back into subnormal categories of personal sin in your life. There's no spiritual growth. There's no ability to think clearly. And so human viewpoint sets in, arrogance takes over, and you justify and deceive yourself and become totally absorbed with whatever it is you're pursuing. When a believer gets into reversionism like this, that demonstrates distraction from the spiritual life. And the only way out of it is correction and discipline from God. When we get distracted, we become indifferent, we get the wrong priorities, and we react rather than responding to God's discipline. So without some absolute truth, there is no relation to reality in your life. You become irrational, and you live under some illusion that you're something that you're really not. That's what the mirror of arrogance does to us. It lets us think we're one thing. See, in the mirror of arrogance, we have this unrealistic self-image. Until we begin to think clearly, until we can see ourselves as we really are, then we will never recover from our sin. And that's true for you too, and maybe for your children or your grandchildren or your spouse. Only a slow slide down the my way highway until the road runs out. That's what's happening. Because they can't think clearly. They can't see themselves clearly, and maybe you can't. And maybe this show is an opportunity for you to recover one last time. Maybe God is giving you one last opportunity to get with it. This type of person on the slippery slide down the my way highway will put wrong priorities as the key to happiness in their life. You know, like pleasure or loved ones or social life or the details in life. All of these things become important to them. It's the key to them being fulfilled in life. And they ultimately will reject legitimate authority. A person in reversionism ultimately becomes increasingly hypersensitive. They lose their objectivity. And true to form, they will blame everyone else for their own misery. Someone once said, every time you point a finger at someone else, there are three fingers pointing back at you. As a result of this arrested spiritual development, the person in reversionism, his spiritual development has been arrested. He stalled out spiritually. He will then become vulnerable, and listen carefully, to demon influence, not demon possession. No Christian can be demon possessed. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Bible is clear about that. The Holy Spirit is in you and sealed you until the day of redemption. So you cannot be demon-possessed, but you can be demon-influenced. That means your thinking can become clouded by a satanic smokescreen, and you will begin to believe all sorts of garbage as you seek to fill up the void in your life left by that empty spiritual vacuum. You will accept any false doctrine as a result of rejecting true doctrine. Listen to 1 Timothy 4. But the Spirit says that in the latter periods of time, that's between the first and the second advent of Christ, some believers will become apostate from doctrine, paying attention to deceitful spirits, and concentrating on doctrine of demons. So this rejection of truth and this involvement in the cosmic system leads people into what we call a frantic search for happiness. Frantic search for happiness, where the Bible says they're lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And we call it going down the highway, this frantic search for happiness. And it can take you in a lot of different directions. It's like being on an interstate and coming to a clover leaf and you don't know which way to go. What can I do to fill up my empty life, people think. They want meaning. They want purpose. They want definition. Is it found in success? Is it found in corporate promotion? Is it found in money and full bank account? Is it found in having 10,000 friends on Facebook? Is it found in sex? Is it found in the material things of life? Here is a great principle that you need to understand. If you're not happy with what you have now, then you will never be content or happy with what you have in the future. If you are not happy with what you have now, you will never be content or happy with what you have in the future. And the reason is this, that unhappy people take their unhappiness with them wherever they go. In order for you to be happy, you have to be content. See, if you're not content, you have no capacity for life. Contentment is an amazing thing. Paul said, I've learned to be happy. Whether I have a lot or whether I have a little, it doesn't make any difference because, and here's the point, he didn't focus on the details of life. He didn't focus on people, circumstances, or things. He focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So happiness doesn't have anything to do with people. It doesn't have anything to do with how many friends you have on Facebook or how many friends you can invite over for a party. It doesn't have anything to do with the circumstances that you find yourself in. It's not what you have or do not have. That's not the basis for happiness. And until you have that little word, contentment, you will never have capacity for true happiness. Because you'll always be looking for something else to make you happy. You'll always be looking for something else, something different, to stimulate your emotions. It's called a frantic search for happiness. Listen to what the Bible says in regards to this in Hebrews 13:5. Let your lifestyle be free from love of money. Be content with what you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. That does not mean that it's wrong to want to have a better home or a better car or a better whatever. That's not what it's saying. If you are not content with what you have, then what you get will not make you content either. God may want to give you so many wonderful things. He may want to fill your cup up with blessing, but he can't because your cup has a hole in it. You can't have contentment. No capacity for life until there's contentment first. And so people get out of fellowship with God. They move into reversionism. They get into this frantic search for happiness, and it only leads to Operation Boomerang. Remember the song back in the 60s, My Boomerang Won't Come Back? That's kind of dating yourself, isn't it? Are you that old? My boomerang won't come back. You remember that? I remember it, unfortunately. The frantic search for happiness can lead to Operation Boomerang. You see, your unhappiness increases as what you're seeking becomes more and more elusive. And the ones that you trusted, the people that you counted on, they abandon you. And whoever your dearest, most wonderful, best friend was that recruited you into some system, recruited you into this organization, well, they now abandon you. And here's what's wonderful about God. He will never abandon you. Even though you may turn your back on him, he will never ever turn his back on you. And so this is what you must understand. Have you been recruited by some cosmic recruiter? Just like you have an evangelist for Jesus Christ, you know, Satan has a few evangelists too. Have they lured you into the world's system of promises as you try to deaden the pain of your empty life? You know that you're not happy. You know that you're miserable. And what are you doing to try to fill it up, make it go away? Operation Boomerang, when you get into that, what you thought was going to make you happy turns out to be only some sort of temporary fix. And now your unhappiness has intensified. Now your misery is greater than it was before. Everything just boomeranged. Now you lose control, and your life begins to break up into little pieces, but you can't stop that vicious cycle of emotional distraught that tears you apart. You can't stand to be alone. You say things like, I'm so bored. I'm so lonely. Those are words that a believer, a mature believer, never has to say. I'm bored or I'm lonely. That never has to be said by any mature believer in Jesus Christ. You see, that's what the reversionist says. Because he's depending on people or circumstances to make him happy. The arrogance of unhappiness sets in. Nothing satisfies you. Everything that you have is only temporary. It's just a short fix, and you're going out this weekend and you're living from Friday to Friday. You're yearning for some sort of satisfaction and peace and fulfillment, but you don't find it in the different people you go out with and the different places that you visit. And you think, if I could just get away from it all, I could be happy. But the problem is, you don't have the capacity to be happy. You don't have the capacity for friends, and you don't have the capacity to use the problem-solving devices that God has given to you. You tried romance, and that didn't solve your problem. It created problems. Maybe you tried the things that are associated with romance, like sex outside of marriage, and that didn't make things get any better, did it? You tried to get promoted. You tried to find some prosperity. You went through all the bitterness of those who were jealous of you and abused you, and you're not happy. All of this sort of thinking, this preoccupation with self, this reversionism, always leads to what's called the emotional revolt of the soul. The emotional revolt of the soul. Your soul was not designed by God to be controlled by your emotions. Emotions are beautiful. Emotions are wonderful. And they are a genuine, bona fide appreciator of the soul. I have a listener who listens in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and he's a great artist. Photographed some phenomenal Cheyenne and Wyoming wildlife photographs. And emotionally, when I see them, I'm stimulated. Oh, they're beautiful. Look at that. But here's what you have to remember. We were not designed by God to be controlled by our emotions. Our emotions were not designed by God to create policy, but rather to appreciate. And if you let your emotions create policy, you make decisions based on your emotion, you're in trouble. You make decisions based on what you think, not based on what you feel. And so the battle is always this: the mentality of your soul versus your emotions. And what exactly does the Bible say about that? It says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say anything about emotions. When emotions dominate your thinking, you will become irrational, because emotions have no content, no rationality. Emotions have no virtue. And when you get into this emotional revolt of your soul, you will be divorced from reality. And you will substitute some sort of irrationality combined with your own arrogance, and you will eventually go mad. That can produce mental illness. That can produce psychosis. And there are a lot of psychotic Christians running around today. All of your biblical priorities got wiped out. Now you have no more divine norms and standards. You've compromised. You've sold out. And now you begin to actually attack the truth that delivered you from the slave market of sin. You are now permanently negative to God's word. You never will understand God's plan for your life like that. You will never, ever make it, because you'll always think like an unbeliever thinks, and you will find yourself antagonistic to the truth, so much so that your soul will eventually black out. Your soul will shut down, and you will black out. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. The blackout of the soul, the scar tissue of the soul, is taught in Ephesians chapter 4. It's when your norms and standards are shut down. The things that are there to protect you are gone, and you are on a downhill slide all the way to a miserable death. Now it's up to you. I've laid it out as plain as I can lay it out. The Bible says do not give place to the devil. The Bible is clear about that. Put on the armor of God so that you can stand against the strategy of the devil. God saved you. God gave you a destiny, and God gave you a history. But you have moved into reversionism, and you've lost sight of the objective. It is time to recover. It is time to confess your sin and get back in fellowship and resume your spiritual life. If I can help in any way, don't hesitate to contact me. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline, saying thank you for listening today.
Thank you for listening to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or online at www.rickhughesministries.org.